film tape weaves through a projector beside a countdown from 5. The letters R-E-E-L are outlined in glowing tape moving through reels. A foggy swamp in low light in the 1950s.
I was born in the bayou, in the low country in Louisiana, and raised by my grandmère Catherine. Grandmère was a spiritual healer, someone unafraid to do battle with evil. When grandmère was summoned at night, it meant someone was very sick, or in pain, or it meant death.
Real One Entertainment presents B.C. Andrews' Ruby.
Something evil took my baby. I felt it. I felt the spirit enter the room when the baby died.
When a baby dies before it's baptized, the dark spirit lingers. It's trapped the baby's soul, and we must release it. Ruby. Holy water.
Quick.
The spirit hides itself in standing water. We must find it and wash it away.
Ruby hands Grandmere a small bottle.
Grandmere, over here. Water.
Ruby holds a mug that Grandmere pours the holy water into.
Je vous ai cherché diabolique.
Grandmere baptizes the baby.
Je vous ai cherché diabolique. Je vous ai cherché diabolique.
Candles flicker.
Be gone, you demon!
A gust of wind blows through the room. The candles extinguish. Grandmere clutches Ruby, who holds a lantern.
Bury the child. The evil is gone.
The wind calms. Ruby puts the lantern down as the mother sobs while cradling her stillborn child. Morning on the bayou. Ruby paints a path flanked by sycamore trees with a man walking through it. Grandmere steps up to her.
Is that for tourists or for you?
It's to sell.
Oh, is that Grandpa Jack? Where's this whiskey ball?
It isn't Jack. It's my father. He's watching over me.
Oh, I don't think he's that type.
If you only met him that once, how do you know what he's really like?
You know, I have the sight.
That doesn't mean you see everything.
No, I don't. But I do know that Landry women don't pick good men. You'd do well to remember that with the boys.
Finish up. You'll be late for school.
Ruby walks along a bayou path.
Landry, were you avoiding me at school?
A young man catches up to her.
So I heard Skeeter Fitch asked you to the Fey Dodo dance.
He most certainly did.
And I'm told you said you'd think about it.
Did I tell him that? I suppose I might have.
Well, Ruby, why would you say that?
Because, Paul, so far he's the only boy who's asked me.
Paul smirks and looks into the woods.
We've been going together for more than a month. I didn't think I would have to officially ask you.
Well, I guess you just learned something about girls. And besides, how do I know? Maybe you didn't want to be seen in public with a lowly Cajun girl. What would your big, rich father say?
Hey.
He stands in front of her, takes her head in his hands, and they kiss tenderly.
Well, Miss Ruby Landry, would you do me the honor of being my for real date?
Fine, I'll go with
you. They continue along the path.
Wish me luck. I'm going to help Grandmère at her craft stand. I'm putting up some of my paintings. Maybe I'll sell them.
Good luck.
I just love the preserves, Catherine.
Best in the bayou.
Grandmère, whose name is Catherine, sells art from a stall on the road outside home. Ruby steps up.
I'm going to the dance with Paul. Why are you being so difficult, Grandmère? I'm looking forward to
this. Ruby, don't argue with me. I cannot have you running around with Paul Tate.
I'm not running around with him. I'm going to the dance with him.
He's a Tate. You're a Landry. Nothing good can come of this.
Goodness, Grandmère. What are we now? The Hatfields and the McCoys?
You are headed straight for a heartbreak.
This is ridiculous. He's a perfectly nice boy.
Don't argue with me.
A man in a big black 50s car parks. The man approaches the stall.
Welcome. Whew. What can I help you with today?
These are remarkable. But none of them are signed. Who did this?
She did.
You. You painted these.
Mm-hmm. They're $5 a piece.
I want them all. What's your name?
Ruby Landry. Sir, you really want to buy every one of my paintings?
This one will do for you. This is $50. Now, that's just a down payment. My name is Dominic Legrand.
He hands her his card.
I run an art gallery down in the French Quarter, and I don't believe that your painting is going to be on the wall for very long.
Thank you, sir.
May I?
Oh, yes, of course.
Ruby helps Dominic collect the paintings. Catherine beams towards Ruby. Dominic takes his paintings to his car. Ruby's jaw drops and Catherine applauds her. Ruby smiles and waves at Dominic. Evening. Ruby sits in a parked truck with Paul outside a bar.
He bought every single painting and said it's only the start. It's unreal.
So what's next? Move to the city? Forget all about me?
No, you can come with me. I'll need a chauffeur after all. Let's go in and celebrate.
A gray-haired man is tossed from the bar.
Don't come back!
Oh, no.
What the heck do you think you're doing? I paid my bill!
Hey, come on, Grump, leave it be!
Take the boy home! What do you want? He's asking
for Grump, hair! Jack!
Ruby scowls at Jack.
Ruby? Come on, loan me a dollar.
Come on, Jack.
Ruby and Paul help Jack to the truck.
I'm taking you home, Grandpere.
I'm fine. Walk him out.
All right. Almost there. Just a few more steps.
Later, as sunlight streams through the windows, Paul and Ruby help Jack to bed.
Okay, Jack. You sleep it off.
Ruby puts a kettle on and collects dirty dishes.
Ruby, forget it. Nothing's gonna get this place clean anyway.
Thank you for helping me get him back. I'm sorry I had to get all caught up in it.
Well, don't worry about it.
I am worried about it, Paul. Word's probably all over town. Your parents are going to hear that you muddied your hands in Landry business.
Hey.
Those dirt poor swamp folks.
Listen. I don't care. They can't tell me not to see you. Ruby. I love you.
Are you serious?
Ruby furrows her brow.
Am I serious? Is that really your response? I don't know what I was expecting, dropping it on you out of nowhere, but I know what I was hoping to hear.
Paul.
She looks into his eyes.
I love you too.
That's better.
They kiss passionately. He presses her into the wall with his body. They make out against the wall. He lifts her, and she wraps her legs around his waist. He puts her down on the counter, knocking over pots, which rouses Jack.
What's going on out there?
Ruby stifles laughter.
This is exactly how I imagined it.
They rush away. Catherine peers through her drapes, watching Paul kiss Ruby goodnight at the front gate. They wave to each other, and Ruby enters the house where Catherine sits at the kitchen table.
I know what you're going to say, so don't bother.
You have got to stop seeing this boy now.
Girl, Mare, I'm in love with him.
Oh, Lord. Ruby, you are not your mother's firstborn. Paul was.
Oh, come on.
It's true. Paul's father was already married when he seduced your mother. I don't know what he told his wife, how they explained things.
Stop it!
It's true, Ruby.
I don't believe you.
I wish I hadn't had to tell you, Cherie. Of all the boys in the world, you had to pick Paul Tate to fall in love with? And he just happens to be your half-brother.
It's not true. It's not true!
Catherine stands and hugs Ruby.
You're gonna have to tell him goodbye.
Ruby weeps into Catherine's shoulder.
Okay, but since when do you care that I'm from money and you're not?
I just think we need to admit we're from two different worlds. We We should stop it now before it goes too far. I really think I need to focus on being an artist right now. And to do that, I need to live more. I can't stay in Huma forever. I need to be open to more experiences.
Oh. Okay, now I get it. More experiences. In other words, more boyfriends, right?
Paul, I'm not saying that.
No, look, everything's clear now. You're Landry. That's what I would expect from you.
I know you don't mean what you're implying. I know you're just trying to hit me back.
No, everything I heard was true. I didn't want to believe it, but look, here we are. Hey, and best of luck to you and your new experiences.
Paul!
Paul storms off. Ruby stands with tears in her eyes. She sits back down, weeping. Ruby sits on Catherine's bed and hands her a $50 bill.
Grandmère, look! Special delivery from the Chevrolet Gallery. This just arrived.
Someone in New Orleans has one of my paintings on their wall. Can you believe it?
Catherine coughs.
Grandmère, I don't think you're getting any better. Let me get a doctor.
No doctors. Just listen to me. I think we should take this money and hide it in my private chest. Because if Grandpère Jack gets wind of this, he'll come looking. You'll find my Bible under my small jewelry box on the bottom.
Catherine removes her necklace with a key on it. She hands it to Ruby, who unlocks a chest at the base of the bed. Ruby opens the chest and takes out the Bible. She hands it to Catherine, who tucks the money between the pages.
Well, listen to me, Ruby. Now that you know about your mother and the Tates, I think that you should know all of it. You'll find a photo in the Book of Revelation.
A photo of a girl standing outside a gate with a man.
That's me. That's me when I was a little girl. But who is this man?
His name is Pierre Dumas. Ruby, he's your father.
Ruby's eyes widen.
So I knew him once?
No, that's not you in the picture. That's your twin sister. You're old enough now. You should know the whole story. Your grandpa would sell anything he could to get himself some whiskey.
Flashback of the births.
Including a newborn child. Your father came to the bayou on a hunting trip, and even though he was already married, he met your mother, Gabrielle, and fell hopelessly in love. She got pregnant. Pierre's wife couldn't have children, but his father wanted his son to have an heir. Pierre paid your grandpa, Jack, $1,000 to provide him with one. None of us knew that you were still yet to come. You were born an unexpected twin, Ruby. It was like my Gabrielle was determined to give me a granddaughter, no matter what your grandparents' devilish plans may be. You were an angel sent straight from heaven to me, Ruby. When Jack tried to snatch you too, I took that picture and tried to cave his head in with it. I told him if he ever set another step into this house, he'd never take another. My beautiful daughter, Gabrielle, died before the sun rose.
I have a father. I have a sister.
Catherine quivers as she coughs.
Ruby, give me my powders. The brown one.
Ruby takes a medicine bottle from a shelf.
This one, Grum?
Ruby's jaw drops. Catherine lies still with her arms stretched out. Ruby sits on the bed next to her and feels her pulse. Tears stream down Ruby's face. Ruby weeps into Catherine's chest. At Catherine's funeral, a bouquet lies on the casket. Ruby frowns sadly, standing over it. Mourners mingle behind her. The woman who had the stillbirth steps up to Ruby and caresses her shoulder.
She was an angel. If ever one walked this earth. A dear, dear friend. I'll miss her terribly.
Thank you, Mrs. Thibodeau.
You know I'm just down the street if you ever need anything.
Jack enters. He rests his hands on the casket.
She's really gone.
She was just too good for this world.
I don't need no comfort from you, woman.
Oh, you're gonna speak to me like that on a day like today?
Let me make you a plate, Mrs. Thibodeau.
Thank you, sweet girl. I can handle myself.
Ruby leads her away. Jack leans over the casket sadly. Ruby approaches him.
What happened?
Her heart just gave out.
Oh.
Jack breaks down and cries over the casket.
Why don't you come to the table? I'll fix you a plate. Come on.
No, I swear. I'm gonna dry up.
All right, Grumpier.
You believe what I'm saying, don't you?
Ruby nods apprehensively.
Yes. Come on.
Ruby leads him to the table, surrounded by other mourners. Evening, Ruby lies awake in bed. She turns to the knock at her window. She gets out of bed and pulls away the drapes. Paul stands there. She opens the window.
Can I come in?
Yeah.
He steps through the window and enters.
I saw Jack and his buddies from the front window. I didn't know if he'd let me see you.
What are you doing here?
Ruby, I feel really rotten about how I talked to you the other day. I didn't mean any of it.
No, I know you didn't.
Look. If you don't want to see me anymore, I guess I can deal with it. But it would really help me to understand why. Ruby, you said you loved me.
I do. And I don't want to see other boys. I didn't want to break things off with you, Paul.
Okay. Okay, well, then don't do it.
I have to.
Why, if you love me?
Paul.
A tear streams down her cheek.
You're my brother.
Okay.
It's true. Your father and my mother were together.
Okay, for God's sake.
If I was going to lie to you, this is what I'd come up with.
He turns away in disbelief.
No, Ruby, this has to be a joke.
Don't you know I wish it was?
Oh my God.
Everybody kept this secret for so long. We were never supposed to know about it. No one was.
Well, that's it. That's the answer. Ruby, no one has to know about this.
He sits on the bed next to her.
Even if that is true, I don't care. I love you. And I will never want anyone else. Tell me you don't feel the same way.
He wipes a tear from her cheek. He tries to kiss her, but she covers her mouth with her hand.
Ruby. I have to have you.
She shakes her head vehemently. They stare sadly into one another's eyes. Then kiss with passion. She lies back on the bed and pulls him on top of her. Jack bursts in.
Who you got in here?
Go, quick, go.
Paul races to the window, covering his face. Jack closes the window as Paul escapes.
I should have known you had loose knees just like your mother. You're gonna get yourself knocked up one of these days, girl.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you? Another baby to sell?
He steps close to Ruby and glares into her eyes.
Now, I don't know what you think you heard. Rumors, maybe. Now you get to sleep, and I best not hear no more noise in here. Or I swear to God.
He raises his hand, shoves past her, and leaves. Ruby shakes, falls onto her bed, and sobs. Morning. Ruby cooks in her kitchen. Jack sleeps on a sofa behind her.
Where'd everybody go?
It's the middle of the afternoon, Grandpère.
Guess I must fell asleep.
Jack picks up an empty bottle, looks into it, and tosses it aside.
Damn if that don't smell good.
I'm cooking extra, so there should be plenty you can take home with you.
You know who'd like some of that? Buster Trejo. He's my buddy. He was over here just last night.
I heard.
Oh, he kept talking about you. Ruby this and Ruby that and Ruby's so pretty. We couldn't shut him up about you. Point of fact, I told Buster to come on over tonight. Maybe we could talk about the two of you getting married.
She shoots him a startled glare.
I'm sorry, are you insane?
Have you ever been out to his plantation? He's got more land than the kingdom of heaven. He could sure take care of you. You wouldn't want for nothing the rest of your life.
I'm not ready to marry anyone. Do you hear me? Certainly not Buster Trejo. I'm going to be an artist.
Buster'd be fine with that. All his money, maybe he can buy you all the painting crap you'd ever want.
You listen to me, you worthless rummy. You don't have a say in this. And I want you out of here! This is my house now! So you go back to your swamp shack and be wretched all by yourself!
He stands slowly, scowling at her. He knocks over his chair, turns and steps out the door. Ruby composes herself, picks up the upturned chair, and replaces it at the table. She clutches her stomach and weeps. Jack bursts in with a chain.
I'm going to show you what happens when you get lippy with me, girl. I've about
seven
females in this family.
No.
Tell me what's going on.
No!
I got Buster coming over later. We're going to cut us a deal.
Please.
That's it.
Unlock me! Please! No.
He chains her ankle to her bed frame and leaves. Ruby makes a futile effort to free herself. Evening, a crocodile wading through a swamp. Ruby lies on her bed. Jack sits at the kitchen table. He answers the door.
Buster!
Evening, Jack. Brought you a little something for your pain.
He hands Jack a bottle.
Run in! Sit down!
Ruby struggles to free herself.
Everything all set? You talk to her?
Oh, I talked to her. She no problem. But you and me, you ain't fixed on no price yet.
Oh, we're both gentlemen. We'll agree on something when the time comes.
Well, Buster, the time is now. And I don't think I could let Ruby go for anything less than... probably, I'd say, $1,000.
Oh, what then? I throw you $500 now, the balance on her and my wedding day?
Oh, come on, Buster, don't get me angry at you now. You got the money.
I figure a man's got to know what he's paying for if he's putting up this kind of money all at once.
What are you talking? You've seen Ruby before?
Seeing is one thing. I will go you one better, Jack. This on the table is yours.
Buster lays money on the table.
Plus another 500 if I can break her in tonight.
Deal.
Fed bonus monies to be paid only after the merchandise has been thoroughly tested.
Jack takes the cash. Ruby kicks the bed frame. It breaks and she frees herself. She clambers next to the door, clutching the chain. Buster unbuckles his belt and opens the door.
I'm coming in, Ruby.
He closes the door and looks at the empty bed. She surprises him from behind. She swats Buster across the face with the chain.
Jack, you son of a bitch.
He drops to the ground. Jack turns to the sound. He races to the room to investigate. Ruby hides behind the door. Jack crouches over Buster.
Buster!
Ruby wraps the chain around Jack's throat and pulls back. Jack struggles. His face goes red. He stands and backs Ruby into a wall. She holds the chain firm. Jack slams her into the wall again. Losing his strength, Jack collapses to the floor. Ruby sits on his back, tugging the chain as hard as she can. Jack passes out and ceases to struggle. Ruby searches his pockets and takes a wad of cash. She throws it at Buster, still passed out on the floor. She digs through another of Jack's pockets and takes out the key, unlocking the binding on her ankle. She races into Catherine's room and opens the trunk. She rifles through it and takes out the Bible. She opens the Bible upside down and shakes it. The cash and photo spill out. She collects the cash and photo and races away. Later, Ruby approaches a booth at a bus station.
Bus to New Orleans, please. One way.
She slides cash to the teller. Ruby smiles as she's handed her ticket. Morning. Ruby sits in the station. She shows a woman the photo of her father and twin.
Look at that. Your daddy is a sharp-looking man. He sure is. He's handsome now as he was back then?
Oh, I couldn't say. I've never met him.
You never met your own daddy?
No, I didn't even know he existed until about a week ago. I have some butterflies about it, tell you the truth.
Nonsense. I'm sure they can't wait.
They don't know I'm coming. They don't know I exist either.
Oh, honey, I'm gonna give you something to help take the butterflies away.
A bracelet with a bone.
This here is the neck bone of a black cat killed at midnight. Good gree gree. You know voodoo?
Some.
Well, this one's worked on me. My aunt got me a new job in New Orleans, and now I can finally save up enough for nursing school.
Annie, that's terrific. Not so much for the cat, though.
Well, you keep this on you, and you'll be just fine.
Oh, I couldn't take your good luck piece.
Bad luck for me to take it back now. Even worse luck for you to give it.
Ruby sighs and smiles at the bracelet.
Thank you, Annie.
New Orleans on a sunny day. A trolley car rolls along a street. Ruby holds the photo of her twin and father in front of the same gate as in the photo.
My God.
She marvels at the size of the house. A young man, driving a convertible, pulls up to the gate. He looks at Ruby with familiarity.
That's amazing. You look like you should be selling flowers on the street corner.
I'm sorry, did I ask for your opinion?
You just surprised me. All I was expecting was a Mardi Gras gown, not a full-on costume.
Well, you're the one with the mask.
Hey, Giselle, I'm impressed. Keep up the attitude. You're sure to win first place at the ball.
Could you leave me alone, please?
Come on, let's go inside.
Let go of me!
He takes her hand and she recoils. He furrows his brow.
Wait a minute. You know the people that live here?
Giselle, stop.
My name is Ruby. Oh my God, you must think I'm... My name is Ruby Landry. I think I know what's going on.
His jaw drops. Later, Giselle does her makeup in front of a mirror. She applies mascara, then lipstick. The young man knocks on her door.
What?
It's me.
Get lost, Beau. I brought you something.
Something shiny?
I'll see you downstairs.
She grins deviously. Giselle descends her staircase in glittery high heels.
All right, Beau. Where's the big surprise?
Giselle Dumas, meet Ruby Landry. She's your sister.
Giselle's eyes widen.
I don't understand this. But what the hell is going on?
Ruby steps up to Giselle.
This is as big of a shock to me as it is to you. I didn't mean to cause
it. No, I don't have a sister.
Is this some kind of joke, Beau? Why did you let this person in here?
Because she's clearly your twin sister. Look at her.
I don't accept this. This is just a mean prank you're pulling, Beau, and I'll never forget.
Giselle, it's crazy. I know. I was shocked to learn I had a sister, too. We were separated at birth.
You shut your mouth. You're just pulling some kind of a scheme. She wants money. Don't you get it? Look how she's dressed.
Giselle, for God's sake.
Just get her out of here.
Giselle turns and struts away. Ruby's eyes well up.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cause her
She'll
any...
She'll come around. But I think it's time you met your father. Don't you?
Maybe I shouldn't have come.
They're at a party next door. Just wait here.
No, don't leave me here alone.
Ruby, everything's gonna be fine.
He leaves as Ruby takes in the elegant sitting room. Pillars flank the fireplace, stretching to the high ceiling. Ruby steps over to the mantel and takes down a photo of Giselle and her parents. A maid enters the room. A tear flows down Ruby's cheek.
It's true.
Ruby hastily replaces the photo and turns to the maid.
Hello?
The butler told me there was another Giselle.
I'm Ruby.
I'm Nina. I'm the cook.
You won't be needing that. I'm not some evil spirit.
So you know what this is?
Five-fingered grass? My grandmother used to use it to ward off dark forces. Like I say, I'm harmless.
You're troubled.
I've just never seen myself with a father and mother, even though I know that's not me.
No. You're not another Giselle. I can see it clear now.
I can't blame her for the way she reacted. I probably would, too, if I was in her shoes.
Don't you worry about Giselle and her shoes. She got too many. And she'll use every pair to walk all over you, if you let her.
Yes. Thank you, Nina.
Good evening, Mr. Dumas.
Pierre and his wife enter.
I'm so sorry to show up like this without any warning. I had to leave my home, and...
Pierre steps up to Ruby, sizes her up, and wraps his arms around her in a warm embrace.
I didn't know.
His wife gasps.
I didn't know. Your grandfather's name is Jack. He's a swamp guide.
Pierre smiles into Ruby's eyes.
I have two daughters. Two. Daphne, come meet Ruby.
It's my pleasure.
Daphne and Ruby shake hands. Daphne wipes her hand on her shirt in disgust.
I really didn't come here to cause any trouble. I just hoped I could meet you.
Trouble? My darling, this is a blessing.
I only mean I didn't come here with any expectations to stay.
No, of course not.
Of course not. Of course, yes. This is as much your home as it is ours.
Darling, don't pressure the poor girl. She doesn't want to stay. She must feel very awkward.
I couldn't send my own daughter away now that I know she exists. Nina, fetch Edgar, will you? Have him make up a room for Ruby. We have so much to talk about.
Daphne rolls her eyes and sighs. Ruby nods and smiles at Pierre. Sun beams onto Ruby's face. She awakens in a four-post bed. She sits up and smiles wide. She descends a grand staircase and pauses as Giselle stumbles through the front door. She still wears her dress from the night before and carries a bottle. She spots Ruby on the landing and frowns.
Oh, I forgot all about you.
Good morning. It was. Was the ball nice?
Depends on what you call nice. I hear you're a swamp girl. They have fancy formals down there.
We've been known to throw a dancer or two.
Well, there weren't any banjos or washboards, so I doubt you would have liked it.
I'm just trying to be nice to you, Giselle. Like it or not, we are sisters.
Yes, so everyone keeps telling me. That doesn't make us friends.
Giselle glares at Ruby and walks away. Ruby joins Pierre at the breakfast table.
Good morning, Mr. Dumas.
Oh, there she is. Ruby, come sit with me. Mr. Dumas, that won't do. I'm your father, aren't I?
Yeah, I'm just getting used to it, that's all.
Oh, well, you take all the time you need. This is your first time in New Orleans, I take it.
I've never been out of the bayou.
Well, why don't we make a day of it, you and me? I'll give you the full tour. Sound good to you?
Yes, it sure does, Daddy.
They smile into one another's eyes. He takes her hand and squeezes it. The corner of St. Anne and Bourbon Street. Ruby and Pierre enter an art gallery. Pierre's chauffeur leans against his car outside.
Well, what do you think?
Her painting of the man on the forest path hangs on the brick wall.
You know, I really wish I could have seen you and my mother together.
Oh, well, I was only with Gabrielle, your mother, for a short time. But I have to say, it was the most marvelous time. Everything was so unexpected with your mother. My father had taken me on a hunting trip down to the bayou, and there, suddenly, was this beautiful spirit. That was your mother. I never loved like that before.
What do you think of these?
She points to her paintings. He smiles.
Well, they're marvelous, aren't they? Well, let me see.
He pauses on the painting of the man walking through a path.
Oh, now this is great. I suppose it reminds you of home.
I know the artist.
Oh, you do?
He squints at the title, Father by Ruby Landry.
Will you look at that?
Ruby smiles bashfully.
Bravo.
Ruby sits across from Daphne in the study.
So, now that I understand, you'll be staying with us for a while. I'm hoping in time you'll feel comfortable addressing me as mother.
I hope so, too.
I've come up with a little story to explain your sudden appearance. I'd like you to commit it to memory. People will ask.
I couldn't just tell people the truth?
No, my dear, the truth of your origin would put people off. As unfair as it sounds, they would look at you differently, less kindly, as they would the rest of the family. You see, the Dumas name carries a power and a responsibility, and it is my duty to protect both.
Yes, of course.
So the truth is, you were kidnapped when you were just a few hours old, right out of our nursery. We'll tell people that you were stolen by Cajuns who sold you to the people that you've come to know as your family in the bayou. But by the grace of God, you've been returned to us. We kept our search and our tragedy private until today. Understood?
I don't know how comfortable I am telling people such a story.
Well, you don't have to say anything other than you'd rather not talk about it. But this simply is what the story will be. I've spoken to Pierre and he agrees.
I could never say a bad word about my grandmère.
As I said, If you can't say anything bad, then just don't say anything at all. In any case, the first thing we need to do is make you look like a Dumont.
The butler carries boxes of clothes into Ruby's room. She smiles in awe. Giselle stands at the door, sneering.
Thank you so much.
Giselle enters as the butler exits.
I guess it's Christmas. Wow.
A green skirt.
You're gonna have to let me borrow this whenever I want.
Well, you can borrow anything here.
Thanks. Listen, I want to apologize for being such a snit.
Oh,
you have to understand. This whole thing has been a big shock for me, coming out of nowhere, but Daddy has explained the whole horrible thing to me. Boy, I would have just killed myself if I had to grow up in a swamp full of kidnappers and poor beggars.
Oh, it wasn't all bad.
But I think it's going to be fun having a twin sister, don't you?
I'm so glad to hear you say that, Giselle. Really. We missed the chance to grow up together.
Well, I can help you figure out what goes with what. It's not your fault that you don't know anything about fashion.
Giselle holds a sweater to Ruby's torso.
The boys are going to love you in this. I have something similar, and they just die when I wear it.
I'll bet Beau gets jealous.
Oh, they all get jealous.
I like Beau. I think he seems very sweet.
Yeah, he's all right, I guess. Just one among dozens. But I'm sure you've been with tons of guys. I've heard all about you gauging girls.
I don't know what you've heard. I've really only ever had one boyfriend my whole life.
Oh, yeah? Who? Your brother?
Ruby's eyes bulge.
Anyway, I'll introduce you around, make sure you know who is worth dating and who isn't. But first, we've got a little work to do.
A black sweater.
This is it. This is the one. I think it'll look better on me, though.
Giselle takes the sweater and leaves. Ruby heaves a sigh. Later, they get dressed up.
All right, now, plot like I showed you.
Ruby tidies her lipstick by biting a piece of paper.
Perfect. You could almost pass for me.
Well, no one would believe I'm that nice.
Giselle offers a flask.
No thanks.
Rolls her eyes.
Square.
Then swigs it.
Oh my God. I just had a great idea. Let's trade.
Trade what?
Trade each other when the boys get here. You pretend to be me, and I'll pretend to be you. Fool them.
I don't think so, Giselle.
Hi, y'all. My name's Ruby. My pet skunk's name, Petey.
No one on planet Earth talks like that, Giselle, and this is a dumb idea.
Oh, don't be such a simp. It'll be a scream.
Giselle, please. Nothing but bad can come from a trick like that.
Well, I guess we're gonna have to see.
Giselle takes another swig. Ruby answers the door. Giselle, holding her flask, greets the guests as though she were Ruby.
Why, hello, boys. Bo?
So nice to see you again. And you, you handsome thing, you must be Martin. I'm Giselle's sister, Ruby.
Nice meeting you. Wow, you two really do look alike. Spooky.
Well, you might not have thought so when I first showed up in my raggy swamp clothes. I was just a little old filthy dirty sight, wasn't I, Giselle?
Well, you're about as far from that as you can get tonight. Ooh. I don't know if this town can handle this much good looking.
Oh, he's every bit as charming as you said he was, Giselle. I could just eat him up like a plate of fried possum.
Oh. Giselle takes Martin by the arm and leads him away.
Look at the pearly whites on you. We swamp girls aren't used to boys having so many teeth left in their heads.
Well, I've still got all the parts God gave me, and then some.
Let's go into the living room and leave these two lovebirds alone.
Giselle leads Martin away. Beau looks into Ruby's eyes, unconvinced that she's Giselle.
Giselle! I've never seen you looking prettier than you do right now.
Thank you, Beau. I guess anyone standing next to Ruby is going to look at least a little nicer. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that mean?
You know, Giselle, I've been just burning to be alone with you all day.
Oh?
He kisses her, and Ruby pushes him
Come
back.
On, beautiful.
All right, Beau. You know I'm not Giselle. Ruby, cut it out. The whole thing was her idea.
How stupid does she think I am?
Martin seems fooled.
Martin and Giselle make out.
She never knows when she's gone too far. Listen, since you went along with this, you're going to help me get back at her.
Beau takes Ruby by the hand and leads her to the study. He closes the door and locks it.
I don't think I get the plan. She can't even see us in here.
That's the plan. She has no idea what we're doing in here, and Giselle has a dirty imagination. Sorry for kissing you like that. Without asking, I mean.
I pranked you. I had it coming.
What if I were to try it again?
I suppose I'd have to slap your face.
He leans in and kisses her. She wraps her arms tenderly around his neck. She flicks his cheek with her fingers.
Slap.
Meanwhile, Giselle and Martin kiss passionately in the sitting room. Giselle breaks away from him and races to the laughter.
Wait a sec! Where are those two?
She raps on the study door.
You get out here right now, Bo Andreas!
Yes, Ruby Landry from the Bayou. May we help you?
All right, cut it out. You know damn well who's who.
Bo opens the door. Giselle wraps her arms around Martin.
You're the only gentleman I know, Martin.
What the hell is going on here?
Giselle vomits on Martin. Ruby looks on with disgust.
Oh, God.
Martin cringes and wipes vomit off his face. Later, Giselle vomits in the toilet with Ruby standing by.
Maybe don't drink the whole bottle next time, Giselle.
Just leave me alone. I'll be all right. And don't you get any ideas about Bo. He'll never be interested in any swamp girl anyway.
Ruby leaves the bathroom and steps down the hall. She pauses at a door and listens to a man weeping.
Hello?
She knocks. He stops when she knocks and she steps away. Morning. Nina holds a green drink up to Ruby's nose, who furrows her brow.
Oh. Does this stuff really work? Giselle's about as hungover as I've seen. And I have seen hungover.
It works every time. I learned this cure from Mama Dee Dee herself.
Oh, your mother?
Not my mother. Mama Dee Dee, voodoo queen. She got a cure for everything.
Terrific. I'll go see her next time my skin breaks out.
Oh, you do not want to see Mama Dee Dee unless you got big troubles. Even then, the price may be more than the money you pay. How's Giselle been treating you, Sherry? Better?
Well, no. Worse, I guess.
Maybe we give her another half hour to feel the evils of too much drink, yes? Might help her make better choices in the future. And I know you only want to help your sweet sister, even though it might hurt some.
They share a sly smile. Giselle lies in bed, holding her head. Ruby knocks, enters, and hands her the green drink.
How's that?
Nina says it'll take the gongs out of your head. Drink it.
Oh, it tastes like pig snot.
Nina swears it works in seconds.
Giselle hands it back, but Ruby pushes it back. Giselle swigs it and cringes. Her eyes widen.
Huh. That's crazy. Here's to voodoo.
She hands the empty glass back.
Hey, can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I thought I heard someone crying in the bedroom 2 doors down.
Oh, yeah, you'll hear that every once in a while. That's Uncle Jean's old room.
What? Uncle Jean?
Daddy's younger brother. He was in an accident forever ago, and Daddy sometimes goes in there and cries his little eyes out. It's so embarrassing. So do me a favor and keep your trap shut about it to people, huh?
He died?
No, worse. He got brain damage, so they stuck him in one of those hospitals for kooks. Daddy makes me visit him once a year. It's just awful.
You think Daddy would let me go see him?
Cripes, I guess he would if he wanted to. Why would you?
Because he's family, Giselle. Does he speak?
No. He's a vegetable, but he's still quite good looking and keeps himself together. Best dress loony in the bin. Anyway, it's Saturday. I'm calling the boys.
Ruby furrows her brow as Giselle bounds past her. Martin parks his convertible in Chinatown. Ruby sits beside him, with Giselle and Beau in the back seat.
Why are we stopping here? Martin's got a connection. He's gonna get us some reefer.
Be right back.
Ruby watches him enter a shop with apprehension. She spots Annie entertaining a man on the sidewalk. Annie steps towards her.
Ruby? It's me, Annie. Remember?
Yes, hi.
I cannot believe I ran into you.
I thought you said you were here visiting your aunt.
Yeah, I work with her, right over there. How'd everything come up with your daddy?
Great, thanks.
That gree-gree worked, didn't it?
The man gestures with his finger for Annie to return.
I gotta go. Nursing school don't pay for itself. You come see me again, huh?
Okay.
Annie struts away. Giselle smirks and rolls her eyes. Martin returns.
I only met her that one time on the bus. I had no idea.
Oh my God. Ruby's friends with a prostitute.
Ruby, I think you better be real nice to me. Be a real shame if this got out.
Ruby frowns at Giselle. Giselle and Ruby hold their books while chatting with girls in their schoolyard.
Oh my God. It's Ruby, right?
Y'all are gonna have to start wearing name tags. I can't tell one from the other.
Did you really get kidnapped when you were a baby?
You have got to be so brave after everything that happened.
I'd really rather not talk about that.
Don't worry that you're starting school late. I can help you get caught up.
What are you doing after school?
Giselle sneers with jealousy. Ruby smiles wide. Evening. Ruby sits on her bed doing homework. Giselle enters her room.
Hi! I'm looking for Miss Popularity.
She's over there in the mirror.
She used to be. Not anymore.
Giselle, you're not really threatened by me. I'm just this week's sideshow.
I don't know. Claudine Simpkins asked me to invite you to her slumber party on Friday.
Really? I've never been to a slumber party.
Oh, they're real fun. We talk about the boys, do each other's makeup, eat lots of bad stuff. You should come. Besides, it'd be a fun thing to do with sisters.
Okay.
Great. I'll tell her. Claudine's parties are always a good time, and she always cooks up some fun surprise.
Giselle smiles and leaves. Ruby smiles and bites her lip. At Claudine's party, a blonde girl puts on a record, then is handed a cigarette. Claudine wears pink lingerie.
What do you think, ladies? Will this drive Steve wild with desire?
Maybe if that's all you wear. Oh. Where'd you dig those up?
They're my grandmother's old clothes. In the trunk.
Well, realize what we have to do. Old-timey fashion show. We'll each pick something out, walk the runway, and vote. Loser has to sleep in the garage.
Giselle digs through the trunk.
Oh, Ruby, this is so you.
What do you think, girls?
You go first. Oh, go into the bathroom and change. Give a knock when you're ready to come out. Careful you don't show too much ankle now.
Ruby takes the dress to the restroom. She enters and smiles at herself in the mirror. She adjusts her hair and takes off her dress. The shower curtain flings open, and two boys with cameras snap photos of Ruby. They race away as Ruby cowers with her arms covering her chest. She weeps to herself. The girls giggle, and Ruby confronts Giselle.
This was your idea, wasn't it?
Don't be such a spoil sport. It's just a goof.
If it's so funny, why don't you strip down naked in front of the boys?
I'm not that stupid.
Oh, Ruby, what are you leaving now because of this?
Ruby stuffs her belongings into her bag and storms out. Giselle and the girls revel in Ruby's misery. Evening, Bo sits at the fireplace in the Dumas home. Ruby steps up to him.
Hi.
Hi, Bo. Didn't the butler tell you Giselle's off at a slumber party?
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. You said you were here. Why didn't you go?
I did.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Just Giselle.
Her eyes well up.
I got to be the brunt of one of her mean jokes.
I told you, she doesn't know what too far is.
She knows what it is. She just doesn't care.
You're right.
Why do you like her?
I guess I don't really like her.
But you go out with her.
Look, she's beautiful and she can be a lot of fun. But no, she's not nice. You're nice.
They smile into one another's eyes.
You're nice too.
So why aren't we going out?
I don't think that would be so simple.
Why not? Do you have some guy in the bayou?
Well, no. I mean, there was someone, but we've already... I've put that behind me.
Perfect. What else?
Well, I am not the type of girl to steal her sister's boyfriend.
Okay. What if I wasn't her boyfriend? Look, I'm nothing special to Giselle. To her, I'm just an adornment.
One among dozens.
Exactly. And I really like you. And you really like me. And the only thing stopping us is Giselle. She doesn't like anyone.
Ruby bites her lip and smiles. Mm. New Orleans at night. A city bridge. The full moon peeks over the clouds. Ruby and Bo sit in his convertible along a shoreline.
So the date wasn't a fail, right?
That's gotta be the fanciest place I've ever been.
Only the best. So the date so far, how do I rate? An A? A B plus?
I can't grade you in the middle of a test.
All right. Multiple choice.
Oh.
A. We hold hands in the moonlight. B, shadow puppets in the headlights. Or C, I kiss you. Maybe you kiss me back.
Ruby smiles, bites her lip, and tugs Bo's tie, pulling him towards her to kiss. He squeezes her shoulders and she holds his cheeks. Bo pulls her shirt's shoulder off. Ruby recoils.
Okay. I think we should slow down, huh?
Huh?
We're just going a little too fast here.
But Ruby, I'm crazy about you. And you said you liked me.
Now, Bo, what makes you think that kind of talk's gonna work on me?
What do you mean?
I'm not some dumb Cajun girl who gets on her back just because she's fed a little sweet talk.
Okay. So sweet talk's a no. Is serenading worth a try?
Oh, I'm serious.
I know, I'm sorry. But the driving me crazy part wasn't sweet talk. I brushed her.
She smiles shyly.
So B, shadow puppets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Later, Ruby enters the front door of her home. She smiles to herself. Pierre, Daphne, and Giselle confront her.
Something wrong?
I should say so. I understand you introduced Giselle to some special friend of yours the other day, some prostitute down in Storyville?
Is that what you told them?
How do you know this whore, Ruby?
I don't know her.
Of course not. She just knew your name and what brought you to New Orleans.
Like a total stranger. A bus brought me to New Orleans, and she was sitting next to me. That's the entire story, and you know it. So why are you lying?
All I did was say what happened.
Is this because Beau wants me now and not you? Because this isn't going to change that.
If Beau wants you, it's clearly because he thinks swamp girls are easy.
Ruby lunges.
Girls, cut it out.
Pierre steps in.
I think Ruby's story sounds perfectly believable to me.
I knew you'd take her side.
This is all people are going to talk about, how our family now consorts with prostitutes.
Oh, darling, it isn't as bad as all that.
Giselle's right. You do always side with Ruby. Well, I have my limits, Pierre. We never had any kind of trouble like this before she arrived. Another scandal, and one of us is going to have to leave.
I think it'd be a good idea if we pick this up in the morning.
Pierre turns and walks away. Daphne crosses her arms and sulks off. Ruby is left speechless. She shakes her head and ascends the staircase. Giselle sits on an upper step.
I hope you and Beau had a lovely time. You guys look great together.
You happy now, Giselle?
No, not yet. Maybe soon, though.
Giselle smirks and leaves. Ruby scowls at her. Beau knocks and enters.
Hey, come on in. Isn't this great? Daddy turned this whole room into an art studio for me.
Very nice. You ever paint anything other than the bayou?
Of course. I'm just a little homesick, I guess, and the bayou's beautiful.
Well, I think if you want to paint real beauty, you gotta paint me.
I don't think I have enough paint for your big head.
Well, you're a big, famous gallery artist.
Well, what do you think you're doing?
Haven't you ever painted a reclining nude?
Beau.
Beau unbuttons his shirt.
No. Beau, put it back on. Oh my god, Beau, if you take those pants off.
Beau takes his pants off.
Don't let perfection frighten you, Ruby. Now tell me this isn't art.
She bashfully looks him up and down.
Okay.
She steps up to the door and locks it. Outside, the chauffeur opens a car door for Daphne.
I have packages in the car. Get them for me, would you?
Drop them, nature boy.
Beau drops his underwear, and Ruby smiles satisfied. She points to a chair, which he reclines in. Daphne turns the locked door handle and knocks.
Ruby, why is this door locked?
Ruby and Beau frantically get him dressed.
Oh, is it?
I don't abide locked doors in this house. Open it immediately.
Just a second, my easel's stuck.
Ruby!
Ruby opens the door. Beau stands casually.
Beau! I didn't know you were here.
Yeah, well, just keeping Ruby busy while she paints her boring landscapes.
You leave this door open.
Daphne leaves.
I will kill you.
Beau unbuttons his shirt and kisses Ruby. At school, Ruby descends a staircase. Girls whisper and gawk as she passes. In the hallway, Claudine and her friends snicker as Ruby approaches.
Is there something I can help you with?
Hey, Ruby, you look a little cold.
Your epidermis is showing.
A boy shows Ruby her nude photo. Ruby tries to snatch it, but he pulls it away.
Make sure you tell everyone it's my sister and not me.
And you think Cajuns are scum? You animals!
Ruby races out of the school.
I heard what happened, and I cannot believe
Daphne
it.
Daphne enters Ruby's
Neither
room.
Neither can I.
I didn't think it was possible, but somehow you have managed to disgrace the Dumas family name even further.
I've disgraced the family name.
Were you drunk when you let them take those pictures of you?
Yes, that's exactly how it happened. I actually wanted to go further, but thankfully Giselle was there to come to my rescue. I suppose that's the story you've been told, or something close to it.
I haven't spoken to Giselle about this, but I just got off the phone with Beau's mother, who was beside herself. As of now, you will not leave this house for any reason other than school until further notice. Understood?
Yes, ma'am.
Ruby's eyes well up as Daphne exits.
What is it now?
Nina enters.
Sometimes the bad people get what's coming to them.
It's not my experience, Nina.
Can be, if you want it bad enough. But you gotta want it bad enough.
Want what? People like Giselle to get hers? Yeah, that would be nice, but... doesn't usually seem to work that way, though, does it?
You come with me, child.
Nina purses her lips and offers her hand. Nina leads Ruby away. Sparks fly through the night sky. A drummer plays. Rats scurry on a sidewalk. Nina and Ruby enter Mama Didi's house of voodoo. The room is lit by candlelight, and on a table are incense, jars of powders, and a hanging voodoo doll.
I should never have agreed to come.
It's gonna be all right.
Mama Didi steps through a curtain and greets them.
Sit.
Didi lights a candle as Nina and Ruby take a seat at the table across from her.
Ruby, tell Mama Didi your troubles.
I have a sister. A twin sister.
Ah, la Marasa.
For some reason, she just seems to hate me. No matter how hard I've tried to... I just want her to stop hurting me.
You brought me an item that belongs to your sister.
Nina nods to Ruby, who takes a barrette out of her purse and hands it to Didi. Didi places it in a wooden box and closes it.
No way, bye, Papa. Bye.
Didi lights a stick of sage with the candle.
Bye.
She waves the smoking stick rapidly over the box. Didi shakes a bell around Ruby's head. Nina looks on. Ruby's chest heaves nervously. The wooden box shakes on the table. Ruby's jaw drops.
Remove the item.
Didi lifts the lid, revealing a large snake within. Ruby's eyes bulge.
I cannot remove it for you.
Didi pets the snake.
Trust me.
Didi cradles Ruby's face with her hands.
All your difficulties will soon end.
Ruby looks at the snake in the box, reaches through its coil, and picks out the barrette. Didi grabs Ruby's hands, startling her.
Good. Spell will be very strong now. Very strong.
Didi clasps the barrette into Ruby's hand. Ruby and Nina step to the door while Didi picks up the snake.
Thank you.
What was done here tonight was done by you, not me. If things turn out the way you want, you deserve the things.
Ruby flashes a tentative smile.
And if they don't...
Ruby turns her head to Didi with fear in her eyes.
You deserve the blame.
Ruby Ruby narrows her eyes and Nina leads her out. After school, Ruby exits the front door. Martin and Giselle sit in his car watching her. Bo catches up to Ruby.
Hey.
Careful, Bo. You're not supposed to have anything to do with me.
So I heard.
Maybe we should just be smart and lay low for a while.
Hop in, guys. We'll give you a ride.
Go to hell. Ugh, Ruby, you're such a bore.
Well, this whole thing will go away in a few days and everything goes back to normal. So, come on, get in. Martin's got some good stuff. We're going back to his house.
Don't leave that around, Giselle.
Look, you know I don't smoke that stuff. And you've got to be dreaming if you think I'm going to trust you again. You're just trying to lead me into some other trap.
I give up. This is what I get for trying to be a good sister.
Martin lights the joint and drives off, puffing on it.
Let's go.
Bo follows Ruby away. Evening. Ruby reads in bed. She props herself up in bed at the sound of the sobs. In the sitting room, Pierre comforts Daphne. Ruby joins them.
Daddy?
Oh, Ruby. There's been a horrible accident. Giselle was in a car wreck.
What happened?
She and Martin. Horrible. He just spun off the road.
Oh, my God.
Giselle's in very, very bad shape. Martin. He wasn't so lucky. He died. It's all my fault. Everyone I love suffers from my sins.
Your fault? How could this possibly be?
No. We have had nothing but misery around here since you showed up. Oh, no.
Nina stands at the fringe of the room. Ruby's eyes widen at her. Nina averts eye contact and steps away. Ruby looks back to Daphne and races to Nina, who sets the table in the dining room.
Nina, did this happen because of what I did?
There's no way to know that for certain. Could be it was just an accident. It was something else.
Nina, you have to take me back to Mama Didi. I never meant for this to happen. I just wanted her to stop torturing me.
She'd probably do now.
Nina, I mean it. Take me back to Mama Didi. She must be able to do something.
There is nothing that you can do to change things once they've happened. Once you throw your anger in the air, it can't be pulled back.
Nina steps out, and Ruby's jaw drops. Giselle lies in a hospital bed. Ruby enters her room, holding a bouquet.
Giselle? Come on in.
Ruby sits at the edge of the bed.
Guess you were smart not to get in the car.
Giselle, I'm so sorry.
Really? You're not even a little bit pleased I can't walk?
No. Of course not.
I only hope that dope Martin's at least as bad off as I am.
I told him we were going too fast. Martin. They didn't...
What?
Giselle, I need to tell you something. I think the accident... I think it may have been my fault. What are you talking about? You weren't even in the car. I think... I may have put a curse on you.
Arnyar, what are you, a witch now?
No. I went to see a voodoo priestess. I was so furious at you. And I just wanted her to make you stop tormenting me. I never thought that something this bad could happen.
Are you serious?
Giselle, please. You have to forgive me. All I've ever wanted since the beginning was for us to be sisters. No, real twins. You want to be twins, Ruby? Then you go out and get paralyzed yourself. Then we'll be twins, Ruby.
Giselle scowls at Ruby and tears flow down Ruby's face. Giselle breaks down crying and Ruby takes her leave. Daphne holds a cloth over her eyes, seated in the study.
Daphne? You wanted me?
Yes, Ruby, come in.
Ruby enters.
I would be so grateful if you could do me a favor.
Of course.
Today's your Uncle Jean's birthday, and normally your father and Giselle would go see him at the facility. But your father doesn't have the strength to go, and Giselle... Anyway, I promised your father that I would go see him. And I was wondering if you would consider coming with me.
Of course I'll go with you. Don't give it a thought.
I really want things to be different around here, Ruby.
Yes. I do too.
At the facility, Daphne and Ruby enter an office.
Madame Dumas, please. So nice to see you again.
Dr. Cheryl, this is my daughter, Ruby.
Ruby, yes. Yes, please have a seat.
Ruby takes a seat and Daphne remains standing.
If you'll excuse me, I'm going to run to the ladies' room.
Oh, yes, yes, of course, just down the hall.
Daphne cocks her head at Ruby and leaves.
So, what do you think of our institute, Ruby?
It seems very professional.
Your mother's told me quite a bit about you. I understand you've had a little trouble adjusting.
Everything's still a little new to me, but I'm getting used to it.
Making friends?
Some.
And the boys? Tell me about the boys.
Sorry, the boys?
Well, I understand there was an incident. Something to do with photographs.
Daphne told you about that?
I wonder, Ruby, are you familiar with the words promiscuous and nymphomania?
I don't understand. I'm just here to see my uncle.
Your mother found this, and she's had some notable concerns about your behavior lately.
A nude sketch of Beau.
Okay, what is this? Where's Daphne?
I don't want you to be scared, Ruby. The floor we've assigned you to is for temporaries only. We expect your stay here to be brief. Gentlemen?
Daphne!
They're just gonna show you to your room. It's all right, Ruby! No.
A pair of orderlies grab Ruby by the arms and take her away. She struggles, but it's futile. Ruby sits in an activities room. A man sitting at the table next to her hits himself in the head repeatedly with his palm. He turns to her.
I know what you're thinking. But you could forget about escaping from the common room. If you're serious, though, there is one way out. I use it myself, but I'm no good on the outside.
I'm sorry, but could you leave me alone?
Ruby nervously rubs her hands together, and the man continues hitting the side of his head. Ruby's eyes widen towards a man across the room, wearing a suit and bow tie.
Best dressed loony in the bin.
She stands and approaches him.
Jean Dumas? Uncle Jean? It's you, isn't it? I know I look like Giselle, but my name is Ruby. I'm her twin. I only met the family a short while ago, but your brother Pierre, he cries about you all the time. I don't know what troubles him so much, but he obviously cares about you.
Jim.
I'm sorry, did you say something?
Jim. He stands and twists his face. Jim. Orderlies approach and lead him away. Ruby watches them leave with a troubled expression on her face.
That guy's tough to talk to. I probably should have said something.
You said there was a way out of here?
He nods and smiles.
I need to use the ladies' room.
Later, Ruby approaches an orderly at a desk. The man nods and smiles at Ruby as the orderly takes a key ring out. He opens the door for Ruby, who slips out. The orderly locks the door behind her. Ruby passes the ladies' room and opens a door with a sign reading, "Private, Hospital Staff Access Only." She races through the door and down a hallway leading to daylight. She props a box next to a window, flings it open, and bounds through it.
Thank you. But I think in the face of tragedy, any one of us would have found the strength that I have. I have surprised myself.
Ruby, wearing a dirty straitjacket, waltzes into the room. Daphne gasps.
Good afternoon, ladies. What do you think of my new dress? Daphne picked it out special for me. Oh, forgive me. I mean mother.
Ruby!
I'm afraid I got a little muddy. You see, I had to hitchhike home from the mental hospital. It's no easy task.
Ladies, I must apologize.
Mother, darling, say goodbye to your friends, would you, and meet me in the study? Your office, now.
Daphne quivers. Her friends trade sideways glances. Ruby sits with her feet on Daphne's desk as she enters.
I really think we ought to discuss that little trick you pulled on me.
I did what I did to protect this family, and I would do it again.
You did what you did to get rid of me. You've hated me since the day I showed up.
But you don't belong here!
And I know why you hate me. It's because I remind you that my father was once in love with someone else. Much more than he could ever love someone like you.
I'm sorry, I will not tolerate that tone in this house.
Oh, you should hear yourself, Daphne. And you should know, Daddy will be hearing all about what you tried to do to me. The other day, you said you hope things could be different around here. Well, you're going to get your wish.
Don't you expect any help from your father? I have half a mind to commit him to. The man is an emotional wreck.
In this house? Who is it?
Pierre steps into the study.
We are going to stop hiding behind lies in this family. The mental institution called. I told them Ruby won't be returning.
Ruby smiles warmly at him.
Thank you, Daddy.
They say you saw Jean. I need you to know that he's there because of me. Because of my jealousy. Jean was the golden child in my father's eyes, and I was the disappointment. I deliberately released the jib of that sailboat and struck his head, and jealousy is still the cause of all our family's troubles, and it stops today.
You have to stop trying to destroy me, because I promise you, you will never succeed. I really hope one day I can call you mother, and I can mean it.
Pierre looks proudly at Ruby. Daphne closes her eyes in shame. Giselle sleeps in bed, and Pierre stands over her. Ruby enters.
How is she?
Exhausted, but happy to be home. I wanted to tell you that I've decided to send Giselle to a private school, I think it would be a lot better for her due to her condition than in public school.
I think you're probably right.
It's a boarding school for girls, and I wondered if you might consider going with her. I know Giselle would do a lot better there with you at her side.
You're assuming Giselle wants my help.
She may not want it, but she needs it.
Ruby gazes at Giselle.
Can I think about it?
Sure. You take all the time you need.
Ruby steps out of the room and goes downstairs. The butler has let Paul in. Ruby races down the stairs. She throws her arms around him, and he spins her around.
Paul! How did you find me?
I took a bottle of whiskey over your grandfather and picked his brain. Once I got the Dumas name out of him, it wasn't hard to piece things together.
Oh, I'm so glad to see you. I can't even say.
They kiss.
You're still the only girl I'll ever love, Ruby.
Well, you'll have to get over that. I'm so sorry for the way I had to leave without saying goodbye.
Listen, Jack, is talking crazy about some twin sister.
Oh my God, that's right. Giselle doesn't know she's also got a swamp brother.
Giselle.
She takes Paul's hand and leads him upstairs.
Giselle! Guess who's coming to dinner tonight? Your long-lost brother from the bayou.
What?
Fade to black. The end. The descriptive video for V.C. Andrews' Ruby is a production by Serafino Sound Studio, script and voiceover by Cameron Catalano. V.C. Andrews' Ruby was a presentation by Real One Entertainment in association with Dan Angel Productions and Jane Starts Productions. Starring Rochelle Bano, Karina Bano, Gil Bellows, Naomi Judd, Sam Duke, Laura Lee Bell, Ty Wood, Serge Oud, Duncan Olerenshaw, Deborah Cox, and Crystal Fox. U.S. casting by Jennifer K.M. Treadwell, CSA, and Monica Kelly, CSA. Canadian casting by Judy J.K. Lee. Music by Matthew Rogers. Editor, Charles Robichaud, CCE. Production designer, Nick Richardson. Director of photography, David Bercovici, Artida. Supervising producer, Don Knight. Executive producers, Tom Berry, Jane Starts, Dan Angel, and Brianne Hartley. Produced by Rick Nish. Written by Gregory Small and Richard Blaney. Based upon the novel by V.C. Andrews. Directed by Gail Harvey.